Obviously, you're running for city council president again. I just thought we would take a moment for you to be able to explain to our listeners what you hope to accomplish with another term in this position.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, once again, thank you for inviting me on this really cool show. I like coming down here. I grew up a block south of here. So I was born and raised here in North Central, and certainly those days it was much different. North Central was kind of a booming neighborhood, but the good news, it's really making a comeback. There's so many neighborhood associations, obviously, not just in North Central, but citywide, who are really stepping up to the plate, Elizabeth, to bring Troy back and to really revitalize our neighborhood. So why am I running for re-election? That's first and foremost. You know, I've seen some of our neighborhoods deteriorate. Lansingburg, I attended Lansingburg High. I walked the streets of Lansingburg when I was in high school. And right now, you know, if you have teenagers, it's a little frightful on some streets in Lansingburg. So we need to spread that momentum that's happening right now downtown. Downtown certainly is on a resurgence, and we need that momentum to spread to North Central, to the Berg, to South Troy. How do you do that? You focus on code enforcement. You focus on blighted buildings, buildings that are beyond repair. We need those buildings to come down before they fall down, which last week you saw Dowd in President Street, a building actually fall down. Public safety is a priority. They all domino into each other. And if we're going to attract new homeowners, if we're going to attract homeowners to invest in our neighborhoods, we need to ensure that our neighborhoods are safe, that they're clean, that they're not trash ridden. And so saying that from a council perspective, it's been a priority of mine for the last 3 years. It will continue being a priority over the next 2 years. So I'm very fortunate to be a council president, certainly being a Republican in a 3-to-1 Democrat city. Why do I get elected? I think it's because I'm independent. I separate policy and politics. Pretty much what we do on the council, 99% policy and maybe 1% politics. So I look at issues very independently, and I focus on moving the city forward.
What can you say during that time that you have served that you're most proud of?
I'm most proud of our very first handicap swing. It's really near and dear to my heart. It's called the Think Differently initiative, and it's all about creating more accessibility and more inclusiveness for special needs, children and adults in that community. It's near and dear to my heart, Elizabeth. I have a younger son who has special needs, and I saw firsthand how businesses downtown and sidewalks just aren't accessible, how our neighborhood parks don't have handicap swing. So one of the first things I did 3 years ago was I partnered with the Epilepsy Association. We were able to raise our own funding, partner with the city, and we have our first handicap swing now. And we're focusing not just on handicap swings, but making our parks more accessible, making our city more inclusive. Think about it, the farmers market's really not accessible to people in wheelchairs, things to that nature. So the Think Differently campaign, more on a personal level, has been something I've been really, really proud to move forward. The administration is actually doing a survey with businesses and other neighborhoods and independent living association to really figure out how we can make our city more accessible and more inclusive. On a more major note, some other things is transparency and obviously financial. When the mayor and I took office, we were on the verge of bankruptcy, and certainly the mayor has different policies that he's tried to put forward. If you recall the 28% tax hike, I fought that. To me, we need to lessen the burden on our taxpayers. We need to ensure that the taxpayers aren't taking the majority of that burden. For instance, the garbage tax, I've fought vehemently against that. But More importantly, the transparency. So the mayor and I, even though we don't see eye to eye all the time, financial, our audits, we hired an outside auditor. The council, we put our money where our mouth is. There used to be a full-time paid auditor, $70,000 work for the council. We trimmed that to a part-time council, $15,000 now, no benefits. So those are just examples for the folks out there. And the reporting, and second to none now, we have an acting comptroller. He reports to the council. The council also, Elizabeth, you should know, when I came on board, was more of an arm to the mayor. We're independent, meaning we're separate. We're a legislative branch. The mayor's an executive branch. And I firmly believe that that separation of powers and just being the watchdog and being independent of the administration, because that's what we're paid for.
Great. Just one follow-up question. Mm-hmm. As a city taxpayer, mm-hmm. I'm just curious if you could just elaborate a little bit on the fees and taxes. And if we don't pay those, where will that money come from?
Yep. I would like to see more efforts in terms of the administration looking to partner with the county. If you recall, the Financial Restructuring Board is actually going to appropriate some monies to the city of Troy if we partner with the county more. There's low-hanging fruit, whether it be purchasing, whether it be IT. Other municipalities are doing it to lessen the burden on the taxpayers. This administration, I feel, has not explored those opportunities of sharing services, of consolidating services more. I used to oversee an agency, $70 million, 600 people, and I truly believe that the efficiency in the management of the City of Troy's agencies could be done more efficiently for the people of Troy. I will also tell you a public safety fee, not for the people of Troy, but to our larger institutions, whether it be RPI and our larger institutions. Other municipalities are doing that because if you think about it, our police and fire are sharing a lot of the burden to more development and to more students. This summer, we're going to see an influx of students that we haven't seen at RPI. Well, guess what? Public safety fee, and I'm talking $40-$50 that's tacked on to the students to go toward police and fire, solely toward police and fire, could certainly alleviate some of that burden.
So speaking of hot topics in the council, we've been following the resolution to propose to make or designate Troy a sanctuary city. This has been ongoing, and it's been tabled for a while. Rumor might say that it will be untabled this next coming meeting.
I'm not the sponsor of that resolution. My opponent is, but I have heard that the majority is looking to try to untable it. It was tabled, Elizabeth, back in December. First and foremost, I would like to see more neighborhood meetings, meaning there's been a couple neighborhood meetings, but they've been very focused and targeted. I'd like to see a couple more public meetings in the neighborhoods, but saying that, you know, if the majority's intent is to untable in June, I certainly, and I haven't to date done anything to stop that motion. And so saying that, you know, people are passionate on both sides of this issue. I oppose designating Troy a sanctuary city. I've said that from day one, and I'll tell you why. I've talked to a lot of folks. I'm talking a ton of folks. I do not base my opinion ever without input. And I also have talked to law enforcement. We know that law enforcement obviously is not keen on the idea. But more importantly, the people of Troy. Elizabeth, I've asked around. I have not heard of an instance where someone was treated unfairly by our police force. And I really look at it as an issue that everyone should be treated equally. And saying that, I have not been contacted by an individual where a police force has actually, you know, harassed that person to find out, are you an illegal immigrant or not? Saying all of that, I respect both sides of the issue. I respect and applaud the passion of the ICE Free and the folks from the sanctuary that are fighting to designate our city as a sanctuary city. I'm certainly one not to stand in the way if the majority is inclined to untable this and put it up for a vote.
And you said that in your legislative address as well. Just to follow up on that a little bit, you were just talking about supporting our differently abled communities.
Sure.
How do we show our immigrant community support if we don't put this label on our city?
Well, I don't view the folks who might not, are you talking illegal immigrants or just immigrants in general? I mean, my dad came over on the boat, and certainly I would classify him.
I wouldn't call anyone really an illegal immigrant per se, but maybe if you're undocumented or documented, all of our, you know, we're a community where we have people from a lot of different places.
Sure. And I would say we're very, very welcoming. You know, a perfect example is we just opened the Vietnamese restaurant down on 3rd Street in Quang, I believe is his name. And, you know, that's a perfect example of someone, you know, who really worked very, very hard. And now he's opening a business
in Troy. I believe he's a refugee, actually,
yes,
here.
Yes, that's correct.
States. So, like, would he even be able to be here if,
you know, I'll tell you, Elizabeth, I see the issue as a federal issue. I know folks on the state and local level want to see more in terms of our government, and they're very upset about what's happening on a federal level. And I think it's really trickled down to issues here in the city that, quite frankly, I'm truly, you know, very, very intent on focusing on public safety. I'm focusing on making our city welcoming. And I think folks are so upset and just so anxious and so ticked off at the federal government that they're trying to really get their local communities to address an issue that can't be solved on a local level. The sheriff has said he's still going to bring ICE in. The police have to do their job. So whatever we do here in Troy, it really has to be addressed on a federal level.
I would love to continue this
topic,
but we are running out of time. Thank you for joining us here today, Carmela, on the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
Beautiful. Thank you.